Amen. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day. Thank you for this great opportunity. Thank you for your kingdom message. Thank you for giving us a desire and a passion to get up on a Sunday morning and come out and then give our life to you. And so, Lord, we just thank you, and we appreciate your healing. We appreciate your deliverance. We appreciate what you did for us at Calvary. Lord, just thank you. And so as we move forward today in this message, we ask you, Lord, to speak to the hearts and minds of every single person here today. Let them hear your message and let their life be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm excited. Again, that's all I am to preach the gospel and to give you the message about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is so important. Everybody say, the kingdom of God is so important. Right now, it's important because Jesus, when he came onto the scene, he told us to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so it's important to understand that, and I want to drive it home because Jesus put so many emphasis on it. And the question was why in the world he would tell the religious community to repent, right, when they felt like they were doing God's work. Because a lot of things is external and it's not internal. So we do a lot of things meant to win people approval, but we're not really winning God's approval. And so he said, you guys need to repent and understand what you're doing. You're not doing it right. You need to make a turn and then head down this path that's going to lead to eternal life, right? And the beauty of the kingdom of God is an inside job, right? The kingdom of God is an inside job, and that's why John said that he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power, but John baptized with water because John was an outward expression where Jesus was an inward transformation and a transformation of the heart. And so I just want to talk to you guys about this. We're going to talk to you guys about something that's extremely, extremely important, right? And that's been everybody said, calm in the middle of your storm. Right? Now, it's important to understand that because you have to understand that when it relates to the kingdom. And I really want the young people to understand this because a lot of us are challenged and we're afraid. And faith is an inside job. Faith is not an outside job. Faith is all about the inside. And it's so important to understand when Jesus came on the scene and he brought the kingdom of God, he was really making a transformation that really, man, from an external standpoint, from all the rituals and the ceremonies and all that, to really transforming the heart of a man from the inside out, right? And the way you think, right? And it was so, so important when you talk about the kingdom of God and why God called him the Son of Man and the Son of God, because the Son of God was the Spirit of God in the Son of Man, right? And then he said, but the Son of Man is going to have authority in the earth, right? Now, it's important for us to understand that because if we don't understand, we're going to miss the whole thing. So when you read Mark chapter 4 and Jesus tells the story about the mustard seed and he talks about the kingdom of God and he talks about this mustard seed and he talks about the pearl and he gives you all these analogies and stories, man, about the kingdom of God. The thing that was so important when he told the story about the seed that was spread it and it was going to be on different soils. And he took his disciples away. And this is, don't miss this here. When he took his disciples off by themselves, he took the 12 of them, and he went really, really intimate with them. And the reason why he said that those who would that got good soil would land on good soil, they would produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was telling his disciples that because he took the 12 men and he poured into them, and it was such a small crowd, because everybody comes, but everybody don't embrace it. A lot of people come to the kingdom of God, but they don't really, really buy into it wholeheartedly. They do. It's like a part-time thing, right? And God wants all of you, right? But these 12, he said, I'm going to pour into you, and they stuck close to him. And they studied under him, they slept with him, they traveled with him, they did everything with him, and he imparted them and gave them authority to go out, when you read Luke and all that, the authority to go out to deal with the demonic forces that was in the lives of people. The Spirit was always looking for a body to work through, right? And so Jesus was coming on the scene, and what he did was he was finding people near that was struggling with things in their life that was really demon-possessed. And the demons that take control of their life, and he came in and he was delivering them and healing them from the diseases and all the things. There was really, the undermining force behind all of it was demonic forces, right? And so we have a lot of things that's going on in our life, right, that's happening in our life that we don't understand, and we don't understand there's really the demonic spirits, man, that's coming in. So Paul said, there's a warring in my members. Whenever I desire to do good, evil is always present, right? He said, listen, it's a challenge now. And so it's you got to understand, your sin nature is different, right? So your sin nature never dies, but you die to it, right? And so when you die to it, it no longer has power over your life. But you know that the sin nature is running your life, man, when you start to get all upset over things, man, that don't really matter, right? And you get into your feelings a lot of time. When you're into your feelings, you're into your sin nature, right? But the power of Christ and the power of the kingdom of God, and why the kingdom of God was so important, because God knew that the law by itself was not going to give you the strength to be able to overcome the challenge that you're going to be facing in life. And all the things that you're going to be facing in life was really going to be an inside job. It was things that was going to be happening on the inside of you, because it's the way you see life, right? You always run life and you move the way you see life. Life is what is going on inside of you, not what's going on outside of you. And we're going to talk about that today, right? So we have different kind of storms in our life, right? And so when Jesus was teaching, he was always giving us allegories and stories, but he's trying to give us a spiritual message, right? And he wants us to understand that I'm trying to break inside of you. So when you repent, I want you to turn from the outside world. Everybody's from an outside world. And go inward. When you go inward, you cannot blame anybody other than you. Right? It's going to be your issue. Right? So he wants to turn inside. Now, in Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to try to go through this really fast because I'm going to be out of here. Right? Here's what Mark says, all right? Jesus is teaching his disciples, and all the other people was there, and he's trying to transform a community. This new community of people called Christians was on the scene, and so they were following Jesus, and they was coming out by the thousands, right? And he was feeding people who didn't have no food and all this kind of all these things. He was doing all kind of miracles, right? And it was important. So now his mission, God's mission, was for Jesus to really bring in and redeem man back into relationship with God. So his mission was to get people to understand who they were in God, right? And understand the power that the Son of Man has, the power that God has given us. And understanding when you understand and embrace God in your life, there's no storm or no devil in hell that can stop you, right? And so everything was an inside job, and everything's about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom is God's governing influence in your life. And his agenda is the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God in every area of your life. So God wanted to be in charge of every area of your life, every single area. There is no place in your life that God does not want to be in control of, right? That's why he said you can go to the depths of hell and I'll be there. You can go to the highest heaven and I'll be there. He said, I'm not leaving you because you're my most prized possession. I invested in you before you ever got in this world, and I'm not leaving you, right? So you can try to leave me, but wherever you go, I'm going to be there, right? And the reason why he's going to be there, because his spirit, he's a spirit, right? And his spirit is going to rest in you. Now, the problem is, Satan said, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. All right? Jesus came and said, but I came that you may have life. Well, the life was really the Holy Spirit in you. That's why he said you can blaspheme against the Son of Man, you can blaspheme against God, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is God living in you, working through you and as you. Right? And when you blaspheme against it, he said, it's over. You don't even have no recourse, right, when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, right? Now, so as we go through this lesson today, I hope it changes your life forever. And I hope you see things through a lens that that you would take the kingdom of God more serious when you realize how it's impacting your life. So here's Jesus. He's teaching, and now he's concerned not just about his disciples. He's also concerned about the Greeks and the Gentiles and all the other people, man, who may not have a relationship with God, right? They may not even be worshiping God, but he's concerned about them, right? So here's what he does. He's with his disciples. He's teaching a lesson, and he's telling them about the kingdom of God in that fourth chapter. Then he says this in verse 35. As evening came, now it started to get later in the afternoon, in the evening, right? As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Now, he knew he was in an area, man, where the storm could get really, really tough. He knew that, right? His disciples were experienced fishermen, so they knew how the waters work, right? They had dealt with storms before, right? But Jesus has a mission, and God has him on a mission, right? To go over and transform the lives of people, man, who do not, everybody said, do not. Have a relationship with God. They don't know God, right? They're not operating. They operate from another God other than the eternal God, right? So then verse 36. So they took Jesus into the boat and started out, leaving the crowd behind, although other boats followed him. Then it says, but soon as a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was on the boat. Everybody said Jesus was on the boat. Now, this is important to understand. Jesus was on the boat, right? So Jesus was, watch this, in verse number 38. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Now, it's kind of unique. Right? Because Jesus is not a boat. He's not a fisherman, right? But they are the experienced fishermen, right? So they have confidence in him because they've watched him, man, teach and teach and teach, and they convinced, right? So he's on his way over there, but they believe he has some power, but they don't know what kind of power he really has, right? But the beauty of it is he's with them. Now remember, this is not about a storm on the water. This is about a storm in their life. So he's trying to give us a message. So every time you read the Bible, man, you got to always read the Bible through the eyes of God, right? And it's a spiritual thing. It's an inside job. So here's the thing. So they're concerned. They think they're going to drown, right? How many times, man, you've been going through something and you have storms in your life and things going on and you feel like the bottom's going to fall out and you don't know what you're going to do? It's just too big for you. Right? It's almost like a tsunami in your life, right? You got a call and they said the illness was irreversible or something happened and your boyfriend left you and you thought it was the end of the world, but it really wasn't, but it felt like that, right? Right? So you all stressed out, you lost your job, they call you and told you, that's it, we're going to shut the doors in a couple weeks and it's going to be over, right? And you've been working there for 20 years. All these different things is happening. You're going into surgery and they said, we don't know what we're going to do with this surgery. You may come out right, and you may not, right? But we're going to do the best we can, and now you're scared to death, right? That, you're on the boat, right? The storm is brewing in your life. In your mind, it doesn't matter what's going on. But here's the kicker, and don't miss it, right? Jesus is in the boat with them in the middle of the storm, right? When you have Jesus in your life, and you know you have him in your life, it gives you a calm. But it won't make sense to you till I tell you this story, right? When you have a job and you have a few dollars, Alex, saved up at Pentecost, and all of a sudden, man, you put some money over in an account for emergency funds, right? Now, I've done this. I got emergency fund at home, right? So I got emergency fund. So whenever you understand this, Shaq, but when something go wrong with the car, right, and they say, I got to take my Mercedes to the shop. I don't panic because of Mercedes. I don't even panic because it's a foreign car. I already know when I bought the car that the repair is going to be expensive. How many people know? Derek understand that because he got a Cadillac, right? So now, and a Lincoln, and his kids got one. Boy, and his wife got one. Boy, y'all just got so many cars. Now listen, but you got to have an emergency fund. I don't want y'all to miss this here. Hill, when you have an emergency fund, there is no emergency. When you have an emergency fund, Pentecost, and it's over here, and they call you and say, "I'm sorry, you got your rotaries are messed up, or your radiator is messed up." You said, "Well, how much it costs to get fixed?" They said, "Well, it's going to cost you $600. Well, you said, "Well, okay." You might say, "Man, that's a lot of money. I wish I can get it cheaper, but I know I'm going to get my car fixed, and I'm not worried about it." But watch this here. But the person who don't have no money, right? I don't know what I'm going to do. How I'm going to get to work? This is crazy. They just charge it too much. Do you know anybody that can fix it for free? Right? So what happens is, right, so they go into a panic. They go into a panic because they don't have no resources. Right? But when you have an emergency fund, there is no emergency. When you spend time in devotion with God and you spend time in prayer and you got a relationship with God, when the storm come, you ain't in panic mode. Right? Because you've already deposited some money in the emergency fund. You got some stuff. So I know what he can do. Right? Then you have a tendency to look back and say, "And I remember this, and he brought me out." Right? And that's why I spend time in prayer. And I know he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ever ask. So I'm feeling pretty good knowing that he's going to do it. So I'm going into surgery. I don't want the surgery, but I know I'm coming out of it. Right? So I'm not all scared and I'm not panicking because I got a relationship with who? God. So now Jesus in the boat with me. So I'm not worried when he's in the boat with me. So I don't care what the storm is. Now watch what he says. This is important because it didn't make sense to you. When Jesus woke up, right, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, right? Watch this here. And there was a great calm, right? Because God is in charge of every storm in your life. I don't care what going on, he's always aware of what's going on in your life. And what he wants you to do is lean and depend on him. The problem is we do things contrary to him. We don't put no time in him, and we only go to him. Watch this here. It's like this happened to us. Now, we were fortunate only because God graced. I think because we love the Lord that it worked, right? We have getting the roof repaired, Alex, and the roof, the wind, a storm came through and blew the tarp off the roof. And when it blew the top off the roof, right, it rained so hard, we walked in the building, it was like we was walking in a swimming pool. The ceilings were all messed up, water was everywhere, but I didn't panic. Because I had in, so I thought, right? So we thought we had insurance, right? So we had been paying insurance. And here's how you know when you're walking with God. We were paying our insurance. So when the guy said, "Hey, listen, it's going to cost all this money." And so I'm like, "Hey, call Brotherhood, Camilla." So he called him up, and we called Brotherhood up. And the guy said, "Listen, man, I got some bad news, and I got some good news." He said, "The bad news, I've been undercharging you." He said, "And you guys owe the insurance company, so you're really not insured. And we got over $40,000 worth of damage." He said, "So you're not insured." I said, "But listen, so you know me." I'm like, "Listen, so we paid you the money. This is what you told us. And you know, Camilla's a little worse than me, right? But we gave you the money. You told us exactly what we're going to be doing. And we did exactly what you said." And we like, he said, "So I understand that. I know." I said, "But listen, it just ain't right, man." I said, "You're not doing this right." He said, "But there's another part of the story." I said, "Now remember this, now that's why you make deposits. That's why you got to live right. Because living righteous is a deposit." Right? So we were given. So the guy says, "I've never seen it. I've been working for over 25 years for Brotherhood." He said, "And I never seen it ever happen to nobody in my 25 years." Right? The company said We know this was your premium and you wasn't paying and you weren't paying enough money. But I tell you what you do. Pay your premium up and then come back and then apply for the insurance. He said, then we'll give you the money to get the building fixed. Now, and we did it, and then they gave us a check. And we got it all done and had some left over, right? Now, don't tell me what God won't do. But it all, listen, but it all came down. We didn't panic, right? Because we knew we had made a deposit. And we knew we walked in righteousness. So we weren't worried about getting it fixed because we knew God was going to deliver. When you have spent time in prayer and you've been devoting your life to God and you've been living the way you're supposed to be living and you've been walking the way you're supposed to be walking, no devil in hell can mess you up. Now, he's going to come. The enemy's coming, but no weapon ever formed against you will prosper. Now, I know I was telling the young lady one time, she said, but this, I don't understand. God don't, the Bible, you tell me all this stuff about the Bible. I said, but you got to follow it, though. Now, you can't read a couple of verses and then think that's right. You know you ain't doing right over here. If you're not living right over here, you're not doing right over here, you're not making real deposits, don't you try to make no withdrawals. All of a sudden, you said, God, come on, I need you to help me now. He said, listen. When you were supposed to do this, and I told you, and you said, no, I'm going to do this, there's a consequence for your behavior. Right? Now, so, but when you made the commitment, he got you. Now, here's the thing. This is good. Verse 40. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, listen. Why are you afraid when you know God got everything? He said, now, here's the next thing. Where is your faith, though? Faith is an inside job. Faith is not an outside job. Faith is an inside job. Because I got to believe from the inside. I got to believe that I believe. It's like the one with the issue of blood. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I have so much faith that I believe he will. The question is, do you believe he will in the middle of your storm? Do you have the faith, or are you afraid? Because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. So there's no devil in hell can make me afraid of him. We're dealing with an economy that's all in an uproar. Everybody worry about if the democracy going to fall and what's going to happen and all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you something, right? God raises them up and he puts them down. Some kingdoms he build and some he tear down, right? We don't know if America going to go under or whatever, right? But one thing we know for sure, God got this. Right, so you got to move as though, because you can't do nothing about it except trust him. Yes. Right, so why are we worried when we should be trusting? So my job is I got to make some deposits, man. Why this economy and all these decisions are being made? I got to make some deposits, right? I got to make some deposits. I'm gonna do everything that the word told me to do. Yes. I'm gonna live right to the best of my ability, right? And I'm gonna do my part. Right, here's what he said. All right, in word. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Right? So I don't care what you do. You can take my job away. You can move this here. He going to give my wife enough money to carry us until I can get there. He going to give my husband enough money to carry us until we get there. Now, we may have to cut back. Instead of getting a steak, we may eat some pork chops. If you can't afford pork chops, get some pork steak. For those who don't know, for the rich people, man, you know, like DeAndre Pentecost, you don't know what a pork steak is. A pork steak is a cheap pork chop. Yeah. They like 89 cents a pound, right? That's the cheap stuff, you know what I'm saying? That's the cheap. We just make it, we make it look like a pork chop, but it's real thin. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of fat on it, but it worked, right? Now, so it's important for us to make that deposit. Now, here's what he says in verse 41. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Why were they terrified? Right? Because a lot of times we're terrified, man, because we have not realize that we have God on board with us. Amen. When we don't realize we have God on board, we are afraid and we're terrified. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? Right? Who is this man? But he shouted them, y'all going to do the same thing I'm doing. Because he really deputized them, man, to do the same kind of stuff he's about to do. Because back then, the people felt like that the demonic forces was really operating in the atmosphere. So they felt like that was demonic force that was handling this thing. It wasn't just a storm. It felt like the demonic forces were out there, and then he was able to calm the storm. Then he says, who is this man? They asked each of, it says each other, even the winds and the waves obey him. I want y'all to hear that, right? So I don't care what's going on, even the wind is under God's power. I don't care. Even, it's some people here may got a testimony that the doctor said it was over. But you keep moving. Right? Some of you guys lost a job. You didn't know what you was going to do, and God still bless you. Now, some of you guys ain't felt it yet, but you did. You just got such a powerful life, prayer life, that it didn't even look like it was a bump in the road. Because your faith in God was so good, he was just blessing you because you was doing the right thing. You were like, I don't understand what they're talking about. It's like my daughter was saying one time when she was in college. All the girls were complaining about food and all this kind of stuff and how they're going to pay their dorm fee and all this kind of stuff. She said, I don't know what they're talking about. I ain't got that problem. She said, I ain't got that problem. Right? She told me, I thought you was rich. Right? She didn't have no worries. Right? You got to live with no worries. You know, that's why I don't talk about money all the time around here, right? Because I already know whatever you give, God can take a dollar and make it $100. One person, I remember a long time ago, the offering was off, and somebody gave a whole lot of money. And me and Camilla, we first started all that, and the money was low. And they said, man, the money's low. I said, God got this here. She said, Pastor Durin, you ain't going to believe this. Somebody gave a whole lot. The reason why we got so much, because one person gave a whole lot. I said, God can take one person, cover 15 or 20. You see what I'm saying? Whoa. Just because you didn't give, you don't know what God doing with somebody else. Our job is to keep living right and keep doing what's right, and he going to keep on blessing. And that's how you got to move, right? Now, so let me get through this thing real quick. Come and get you out of here, I promise you, right? Now, so he goes on in verse 6, right? Or the fifth chapter. Now, let me go. I jumped chapter. I went too fast, right? I want to go to the fifth chapter. So he goes into the fifth chapter. Now, this is big because you got to calm your storm. Now, watch this here. Demonic forces are so powerful that they'll shake us to our core, right? And people can see it. Now, this story that I'm going to wrap up with is a powerful, powerful story that's impacting the lives of so many of us. And we don't realize it's impacting us, right? It says, so they arrive. Now they've made it through the storm. Now, I knew they was going to make it through the storm. I knew they were going to make it through the storm before they got in the storm, right? I knew when they got in the boat, when I started reading it, when they was in the boat and they said in a great storm, I didn't have to finish reading because I knew they were going to make it to the other side, right? The reason I knew it because God had them on an assignment, right? So they had to make it. And God knew that there was other people, man, who was not a part of them that needed to hear the good news about the kingdom of God, right? So he gets to the other side, and when he gets to the other side, God knew they was going to run into a demonic force. Watch this here. Mark chapter 5, verse 1-2. It says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region, and he said in verse 2, when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet them. Now, it's kind of dark because they left in the evening. And they, right? And in this region, right? And this man come out and he see Jesus, and this man cannot be tamed. They got chains on him. He's in like a graveyard and it's dark. And these demon forces, and they felt like the demons was just all over him. And he was full of demons. Now, listen to me. You may not think somebody is full of demons, but when they tell you they're full of demons, they are, because they believe it. They know what's in them, right? So then he says this here, right? Verse 3, this man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained and even with chains, right? When Jesus was still some distance away, now watch the power of God. The man saw him. He saw the power of God in his life. Ran to meet him and bowed before him, right? All right, now watch this. And he screamed. Everybody say he screamed. Then he says, why are you? Now, remember one time Jesus the angels was walking, coming to and fro in Job, meeting with Jesus, and Satan came with him. And he says, where you come from? He said, walking to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. So Satan said, I'm walking to and fro, seeking whom I may devour. And so he says, why are you interfering with me? Now, this is Satan talking through a body. And young people, don't you fool yourself. When you open up the portal of your life and you do things, man, the enemy, Kose, will get inside of you. And I don't care what your parents tell you. If you open up the portal, the spirit will get inside of you, and you'll rebel against the very person that feeds you. The very first man to pay your bills, who makes sure you got shelter, man, you'll turn on them. You don't understand why you're doing it, because you let another spirit get inside of you. And yet sometimes the spirit works through your friends. And then they can get through your ears and your eyes and your mouth are all portals. And they can get through. And once that demon get inside of you, because he got to have a body to live in. He doesn't work outside of his body. Just like God is a spirit and he works in people. Satan is a spirit and he got to work in a body. Now, this is important. Don't y'all miss this here. Right? So the son, he says, why are you interfering with me, Jesus? I know who you are. I can recognize the spirit. Right? It was a demonic spirit. He said, Son of the Most High, God, I know who you are. In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me because you got power over me. So right now, he's letting us know, but I don't care what the demon does or how powerful he is, he already knows that he's not more powerful than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life is greater than anything that come up against you. Right? But you got to recognize him. Because if you don't feed him, then you're going to feed the other spirit, right? And so you got the two lions. Whichever one you feed is going to be the strongest one. And if you're feeding that demonic, you listen to all the crazy music, you're watching all the crazy shows, you listen to all the crazy, you're talking all the dirty jokes, and you're doing all this stuff, and you listen to all your friends, and you're smoking this crazy stuff, and you're drinking this, sipping this, and you're doing this here, and all you're doing is opening up your portals for the enemy to get in. Right? Once he get in to your, he start messing with your mind. Now you hear me? Because you're going to wrestle, y'all. It's going to be a battle in the mind. Now watch this here. All right? Verse number 8. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. So Jesus speaks to him and said, come out of him. Right now, remember, these are people, man, that's not Christians. They're not even saved. They don't have a relationship with God. He's over here, man, in a Greek community, in the Romans community. These people, and you know it because they had swines, and the Jews didn't mess with swines because they were forbidden animals. So you know it had to be another group of people. Somebody, man, if any Jews were over there, there had to be some Jews who had defecto Jews who said, man, I don't care what God said. We're going to live the way we want to live. And so they had a whole farm of pigs, right? Now, I'm going to tell you, you will know that in a few minutes. Because you're going to read this whole chapter when you get home. Verse 11. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Sitting up. Now watch it. Everybody say, this is a demon. This is a demon having a conversation with Jesus in the power of God. He said, send us into those pigs, the spirit begged. Let us enter them. Right? And Jesus gave them permission. He didn't kill them because you can't kill no spirits. But they didn't want to leave the area. And this is important. You ask God to deliver you, but you got to watch your children because he may deliver you and that spirit may get in them. So you got to cover them in prayer as well as you cover you. Right? And so, and I remember Bishop used to always say, watch it because the spirit is like a frog. It'll jump from one person. Some person be at the altar, and he usually wouldn't let children come to the altar. He would never let children come to the altar. He said, because that spirit will jump off and jump on those kids. And then you wonder why the kids acting crazy, because that spirit would jump on them, because the spirit got to have a body to work through. Right? And then he says, right? So he sent us into the pigs, right? The spirit begged. So what Jesus says, and so he gave permission. The evil spirits came out of the man. Everybody say he delivered them. Right. Now, he wasn't saved, sanctified. The demonic man wasn't saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. He didn't have no relationship with God. and he entered the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down to the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Now, watch this. The pigs drowned, but the spirits didn't. Right? Everybody said the pigs drowned, but the spirits didn't. Now, so, because the spirit would get in your life, man, and would destroy you and then go to the next person. Right? Now, this is important. So the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and surrounding countryside, spread the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. They all excited because this man who was demon-possessed, could nobody tame, had everybody scared, was not free. The crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons. A legion is like 6,000 regiment soldiers. This man had so many demons in him, man, he felt like it was soldiers inside of him. Some of us got so many things going on in our life, and we're like, man, why is this? What's this going on? This going on? Because you let different spirits inside of you. Right? That's why, I ain't going to touch that one. All right, now, I'm going to leave that one alone. Right? I'm going to teach that one a different day, right, to adults only. Right now, so watch this here. So, verse 15, the crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed, perfectly insane, and they were all afraid of Jesus. But they saw this man, so now they, thank you, Jesus. This man is delivered. Watch this here. This is the good part. I preached this here a long time ago, right? Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. Now watch this here, Brother Hill. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus. It seemed like they said, thank you, Jesus. You delivered the man. Stick around. They started pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Right? As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go. He said, I don't even want to stick around. I don't even want to stay with these fools. They're some fools, right? Here's the thing that's important, right? Jesus delivers the man, but they're in a community, right? And the pigs were their livelihood. They were more concerned about their livelihood than people's life, right? And so they wanted Jesus. They didn't want to be delivered. Some people like the situation you're in. You like the illegal activity that's happening in your life. You don't want those demons gone. It's almost like a person that's addicted to drugs in the dope community. They get mad when a dope man get arrested. They mad. They more mad. And some of them, man, they won't even tell on them. They know it ruined their life, and he got their kids hooked and everybody else, but they won't tell on them because they want them to keep delivering them drugs. And so they sit there, and so Jesus come and want to deliver them, and they don't want to be delivered. They said, Jesus, get out of here and leave us alone. Right? Listen to me. Sometimes, man, we got things going on in our life. We got people in our life. We got things happening in our life. We know we need deliverance. But are we telling Jesus, leave him alone? I don't want to be delivered. Leave them demons alone. Now, here's the thing. Jesus went over there to deliver them. He went over there to get them the kingdom. He knew. So the man that had the demon possessed, he delivered him. Some people he's going to deliver, and they're going to hate it, and they're going to be away from drugs for the rest of their life. They're going to quit doing things for the rest of their life, and they're going to become some of the greatest disciples. Now, listen, this is the big thing. Jesus, I'm on time. So what happened was, this man, in verse 18, as Jesus was getting into the boat, he begged Jesus, can I go with you? Because I see the power in your life. But Jesus wouldn't let him go. Here's why Jesus wouldn't let him go. Because he turned him into an evangelist. He said, you got to stay here. Because if you read the next verse and on down, he said, you got to stay. And then I don't want you to go. I want you to go tell everybody in the regions, all 10 regions, how good God is. And how God can deliver you. So God will deliver you so you can deliver other people. he said, what he did, he went over there, man, he got a disciple, and he empowered him. And when God delivered him, he said, man, for God I live, for God I die. He said, I'm going with you. He said, no, I don't want you to go, because I need you to stay here and help deliver them. Because a lot of them still want to hang on to the demons, but I'm going to empower you, right? Because you have me. He said, you go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. And preach it to them, and don't leave, because they need to hear it. I'm telling you right now, those who God has delivered, you who are out there, man, who've given your life to God, and you made a commitment to God, don't you look down on the people that ain't no good. That's why Jesus went on the other side of the boat. On the other side of the lake. He went to people, man, who did not have a relationship with God, who was demon-possessed, a whole community, and he took his brothers over there, the 12 of them. They went over there. He said, listen, the harvest is great, but the labors are few. Right? But if you hook up with God, greater he is in what? You. Than he is in the world. If you go over there with God, God wants you back there to deliver people. Don't be afraid to tell people about the goodness of God in your life. That's why we had that. I talked that series about the best series. What's it called? The best? What was it called? The one I did? Blessed. The blessed series, right? Begin with prayer and listen with care. Eat together and share your story and serve with love, right? He said, you got to have that mindset, right? Listen, you need an insurance policy. Your insurance policy is spend time in prayer. Spend time in the word. Spend time in devotion. Those are three things. Everybody say, spend time in prayer. Spend time in devotion. And what's the last one? Say it again. Say it again. In the word. You got to get in the word, because you got to know how to tell people what to do. You got to know it. If you don't spend time in prayer and devotion in the word, you're not going to have the power. You ain't going to have no insurance policy. So when the storm comes in your life, and when the demons come in your life, and the demon is coming, don't you fool yourself. The demon is coming. He's going to come into your life, and he may operate in a way that you didn't even realize it was him. Because he can transform, or she can transform herself into an angel of light. Right? And they'll come into your life and sit right next to you. Right? But if you got God, you can recognize it. Right? But if you don't do those three things, you're not going to be good for you and nobody else. And your mind, everybody say, my mind. The demon possessed, he said, I have legion. He said, who are you? I'm legion. What is legion? I got many demons. You know some of the things that's going on in your life. You know some of the things you know is not right in your life. You know the things that's wrong in your life. God is willing and able to deliver you from whatever you're going through. Now, some people don't care nothing about anybody else. But listen, what affects you affects me. Now, if you don't believe it, just watch the country. Watch America, right? People doing a lot of crazy stuff in America, right? Everybody's going to be impacted. It's not going to be some people. It's going to affect everybody, every race of people, every sex, every gender. You can't make laws and don't affect everybody. It's going to affect everybody, the rich and the poor. Remember when the Great Depression came, they had money in wheelbarrows. Even the rich people became poor. Right? Because we all connected with God. But what if a whole nation is righteous? Y'all remember what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah and all that? He said, if I can just find 10, I'll save the city. They couldn't even find 10, so he destroyed it. You don't want to be a part of that community. Can he count on you? Or are you going to let the demons run your life and you're going to keep on doing all this crazy stuff and then messing up not only your life but the life of other people? Are you going to keep on ruining people's life because you refuse to turn your life over to God? You going to let those demons run your life? You going to look at your family? You going to look at your children? I told a girl the other day, she called me on the phone, and I was talking to her on the phone. I hope she listened to me on the radio. I told her, I said, baby, you cursing your children. She got put outside. She's homeless. And she was talking to me about her situation. I said, you cursing your children because of your lifestyle. I said, when you do something wrong and you act up and you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, your kids are under your care. So when you get put out, they get put out. When you hungry, they hungry. If you sleeping in the car, they sleeping in the car. If you up under the bridge, they up under the bridge. Or you begging somebody else to watch them. So if I live in such a way and get my life cursed, that's why they call them generational curses. You'll pass it down to your children. Then your children will be cursed. And your children's children will be cursed. And if they don't get out of the community, they just keep going down. Then all of a sudden, man, we start here, and great-grandmama was doing it. Grandmama was doing it. Mama doing it. The children doing it. The grandchildren doing it. And everybody doing the same thing. And the only body breakaway is somebody come along, and God put somebody in their life, pull them away from the entire family, changes their life, and then everybody else says, you think you better than everybody else? Now, what has happened is you broke away because you wanted to break the cycle. I'm telling you, break the cycle. So your kids can be blessed. That's why he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Bless your life and you bless your children. Bless your life and you bless your grandchildren. But if you don't have no resources, then your children ain't got no resources. I often when people ask, hey, can I borrow, when I see a family, Jemiah, and they say, Pastor Duren, would you loan me $40? You know, and they got three or four kids. They say, Pastor Duren, can you loan me $40? I know right then and there, I loaned it to them, but I know right then and there they in deep doo-doo. Because ain't nothing you can do with $40. Except get you four no holes. That's real talk. Because you can't feed four kids with $40, right? And the problem is you got another plan. Right? So you got to realize, and God says, it's jobs out there, it's places out there, they're trying to hire you, they want you to work. You say, I ain't working for no $13 an hour, I ain't working for $12 an hour, so I sit home and do nothing for nothing an hour. That's a demonic force, people. Think about it, man, I've been working for $15, $25, $35 an hour, $40, I ain't finna work for no $12 an hour. Okay, then sit home for nothing. So your family, so as soon as you don't work, then your kids get cursed. Right? Because you know what they're going to do? We got to eat. Mama ain't working. Daddy, they only 12, 13. They only 11 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. They can't work. So, you know, I ain't working. I remember Derek gave that testimony. He said, man, I was driving all the way to Whitehall for like $12 an hour until the Lord blessed him. Now, that's real talk. And then if God see you faithful over a little bit of thing, he'll bless you over more. Everybody stands to your feet, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Today is the day that you make a decision in your life. Do you want the demonic forces to continue to control you, or are you going to spend time in devotion, right? Spend some time in prayer and spend some time in the Word of God and get yourself an insurance policy. Get yourself an emergency fund. Then I know with that, it gives me a peace and a confidence and a faith and a trust in God, knowing that God is able to do exceedingly. There's no devil in hell can outdo God. Not a devil in hell, right? I'm going to give my life to him. I'm going to make my commitment to him, and I'm going to trust. He's going to take a little bit and make a lot out of it. So Elijah told the woman, he said, just give me a meal. Just give me a meal. When she gave him just a little bit, her last, then God just opened up the windows of heaven and fed her for the rest of her life because she trusted him with a little bit. Amen. Trust God with your life. Amen. Everybody said, trust God with your life. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your message. Thank you for everyone that's hearing my voice. Lord, let this message be a message to those who are out there who make a commitment to you. They say they love you with all their heart. And Lord, I'm asking you to open up every resource that you have available for them. Let them know if they give their life to you, make a commitment to you, that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all they can ever ask or think. I just thank you so much for them. And I love you so much for everyone. that hear my voice. Bless those on the airways. Bless those at other churches. Bless every person in this congregation. And as we leave this place, never your presence, let your Holy Spirit and your power reign in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would like prayer, please come forward so we can bless you and give you a prayer. Amen.
Breaking.